Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Inspirational. And that word is overused, but Paddy Slattery is truly inspirational. Now, from stars of the stage and screen to stars of a different type. In a new report, astronomers have drawn up a shortlist of nearby star systems where any inquisitive inhabitants, i.e. aliens, on orbiting planets would be well placed to spot life on Earth. Dr. Jackie Faherty is how she pronounces it, an astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History and co-author of the report, joins me now from the United States of America. Hello, Jackie.
Hi there, Ray. How's it going?
Good to talk to you. You say Faherty, we say Faherty. Let's call the whole thing off.
I like the way you say it, yeah. So I'm good with it.
Great. Okay, this is interesting because the talk up until now has been about us looking out. So what you've done with your colleagues is imagined if people out there were looking back at us. Isn't that it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of a simple problem in some ways, but one which, you know how sometimes if you look at a problem from a different perspective, mm-hmm. you can learn an enormous amount. Mm-hmm. And that was in part some of the motivation here, because it's true what you see splashed across the news always in space science is the worlds that we're discovering, the worlds that we look out, you know, we look out on our nighttime sky, astronomers are out there studying the stars and we're finding planets and we find them everywhere. And then we get excited and we think, okay, what's the next step? What do we do next to try and figure out if there is life in one of these places that we've now discovered? And we kind of sat back for a second and said, we're doing this in earnest in our current stage of the evolution of humans on this planet. Now, what would it look like from the perspective of a star somewhere else? And if they turned and looked, and A, how many people, how many civilizations could detect us? Who would that be? How close are they? And this is a critical part to our study, how long do we remain in a position where they could detect us through a very specific method, which is kind of the prime method that astronomers are using right now, something called the transit method. So we wanted to know how many, we wanted to know where they were, and we wanted to know how long you could hold that vantage point for.
Okay.
So that was the main part of our study.
So to simplify it and put it in the vernacular, Dr. Jackie Faherty, it's about line of sight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's everything is about perspective. I think one of the things that we can forget often when we're looking up at the sky is that it's three-dimensional, it's multidimensional. You know, the stars just look like points of light out there, but they're giant balls of gas that are inclined in their orbits as they're kind of moving around the galaxy. Mm. And we are also, specifically, we're kind of moving across our sun in a specific way,
yeah.
And we needed to line up that lineup that we have of the way that the Earth is lined up across that's basically how our star is lined up as it's
yes.
moving across the galaxy. We took that line of sight and we projected across the cosmos and we said, okay, what stars are in this tiny window of a lineup that we have? And then we ran time forward and backwards and we said, what stars enter and exit that perfect vantage point, that stadium seating over a plus or minus 5,000 year period. So
right.
10,000 years is what
okay.
we looked at.
So how many possible planets around possible stars could be seeing us and keeping an eye on us and monitoring us?
Yeah, so we cut the distance to the stars. We relegated ourselves to a little over 300 light year radius. So already the number of stars that were even going to be considered was only 331,000.
Only,
so that was the initial input. I know. It sounds like a lot and a little to me because we could have started with 1.7 billion.
Okay, right,
but we decided to go with the narrower sample of 331,000. And then that immediately was cut down when we started to look at the window. And it came down to 2,034 stars that are currently or were in the past in a position. And that felt both to me like, I got like that weird, uncomfortable feeling like somebody's watching you,
yeah.
like, you know, you kind of feel naked a little bit, but that felt like a lot. And some of those are very close by. very, very close by stars that have had the vantage point where they could have detected us through this method.
Okay, this is going to melt everyone's heads, bar yours and your colleagues. But they may be watching us, if they were, but they may be watching us from a different time. They may be just getting signals from 50 years ago or, you know, so they could be watching some black and white television program from the 1950s,
right.
Jackie Gleason or whatever, and thinking that's the level we've reached.
Yeah, so when you look out at the stars, you're not seeing them as they are right this second. You're seeing, because light takes a bit of time to travel. Light moves at 300,000 kilometers a second or thereabouts. And the distances that we're talking about are trillions of kilometers. So it takes years for the light to reach us, depending on where the star is. And like I said, we limited it to a 300 light year radius, in part because we wanted to think practically, which is kind of the way that we're thinking about it. Now, is it possible? I mean, it's kind of crazy the way we think about it, but it was.
Will you give us a practical example then of, say, if we send out a message now, right? Say, I've put together just three bits of audio that if there's anybody listening. Okay, so I'm going to play this for them, because when people are asked what's their favorite sound in the world, this always is up in the top two or top three. So here we go. So they're hearing that, right?
Adorable.
They're thinking, right? Yeah, and then just a sort of some of our popular culture.
There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds.
There you go. The lyrics are perfect. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he knows he'd blow our mind. And finally, some you know, higher end culture. Our own, the late Seamus Heaney. Him reading his poem, Blackberry Picking.
Late August, given heavy rain and sun for a full week, the blackberries would ripen. At first, just one, a glossy purple clot, among others, red, green, hard as a nut. You ate that first one, and its flesh was sweet like thickened wine. Summer's blood was in it, leaving stains upon the tongue and lust for picking.
So, if there's somebody monitoring what we're talking about and playing today, when are they hearing it, or when will they hear it in the future?
Well, the closest object in our full sample is an object called Wolf 359, and it is currently in a perfect position.
Okay.
And it would take 7.9 years for it to get that signal that you just launched off into the radio waves. It will take it almost 8 years to reach that star.
Right.
I mean, that's not so bad.
Now, I'm sorry to do this to you, Dr. Jackie Faherty, because I know it's not a yes-no answer, but we only have time for a yes-no answer. Do you think there is intelligent life out there?
I definitely, definitely do.
Okay.
I do. I'm in the camp of a yes.
Right. We'll talk again at some stage in the future. But for the moment, Dr. Jackie Faherty, astrophysicist at the American Museum of Natural History, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Thank you.
Great talking to you.
Bye.